Shall I begin?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, first of all, I want to say a big thank you to you all at our Birth Journey Professionals. And it's great that I get an opportunity to come and speak about one of the many things I'm passionate about. And I just notice in the astrology part of me that we have a Leo full moon tonight. And that it's opposite the Sun conjunct Jupiter in Aquarius. So the way I read that is having the full moon is amazing because we're working with issues around the womb. And with the Sun conjunct Jupiter in Aquarius, it's all about visioning. And maybe next to Jupiter there's going to be a chance to really get these remedies out in the world a bit more as we birth a new vision of how we want the world to be. So the timing is perfect for me.
Yes, I gather the full moon is at 7:15, apparently, Lorraine.
Yeah, so soon you'll probably maybe something amazing will happen then. We'll see, we'll see. So yeah, talk to me well. I have a Leo ascendant, so I'm sure I'm being held in heart somewhere with it all. So my journey in all of this began a little bit when I realized that to my astonishment that the egg that that was to become a part of me had lived in the womb of my grandmother. I remember trying to get my head around that and thinking, wow, that's amazing. And I would really like to discover the mysteries of that, and perhaps we'll never know the mysteries of that. We can look at the science that the embryo, female embryo, contains all of the eggs that she has when she's in the womb of her mother. And and that then we make that journey down into the mother's womb from her ovaries and meet with and open to receiving the sperm, and eventually we become a zygote and embed ourselves in the uterine wall of the mother before we weave our own amniotic sac, which keeps that the temperature and the environment stabilized. And the umbilical gets formed, umbilical cord and placenta. And I just started to get really interested in how that worked and the whole 9 months we sit there as we develop, breathing, digesting, and developing an amniotic fluid. So just that concept of we breathe in amniotic fluid as we're forming. And all of these things really I got to get curious about. I looked at therapies which looked at journey back to our birth and journeys into the womb. And then, of course, connected with my long-standing relationship to homeopathic energy medicine. And it got me to think about how would it be with to work with the many phases of gestation. And together, a few of us together pioneered some of these remedies, including Melissa Asselem, Linda Gwilym, and the Welsh School of Homeopathy. And we ran some seminars called The Spirit of Homeopathy in Greece. And we did provings of these. We can talk about how they are. And I've been using them for over 16 years or so now, maybe longer. But they're very powerful. And I thought it might be a really good thing to have a little look at what we've got. So the remedies that I'm going to have a little look at are called, and the spellings of those will come up on the screen in a little while, folliculinum, which has been around much longer than some of the remedies I made, lacumanum, umbilical cord, vernix, placenta, and amniotic fluid. So we're going to have a little short look at the themes on those. So I'm going to share my screen now and see how this goes. It's my first time doing this, so I think it's going to be okay. Here we go. Right, so yeah, I like to call the matrodonal remedies that listening deeply and finding rhythm, because they're a lot about this listening deeply and finding rhythm. Listening on all sorts of levels. That's somewhere we come from, where we come. I do not know. We have lots of theories about that, don't we? And I want to first of all just look at some of the common themes of the matrodonal remedies, the ones that I've named. So they're a lot to do with relationships. So what do we mean by that? I mean the relationship to self, to others, to life, to intimacy, to love, to the dark. In many of the provings that we did, a lot came up about those who had fear of the dark. They find themselves sitting in the dark and really trying to, in a way, receive some sense of themselves. And so we found that, for example, as I run through some of these, I'm going to go quickly through each of the remedies at the end of this. But in terms of relationship, we found that the remedy folliculinum gets lost in relationships, and the remedy lacumanum and placenta can feel indifferent. So maybe just a little before I go on, just a little bit for those of you who don't know homeopathy, is that what happens is that we make a remedy and then we take it and we get a picture of the remedy, and that is what we work with. And so when you get a homeopathic remedy, the practitioner gets a holistic picture of all of you. And it's like we find a remedy that we give to you, and that activates your own internal healing process, which is important to know. So yes, we find that each of them have something about relationship. Relationship's really important now. How we relate to everything, everything for us as humans is about relationship. And so each of those remedies I spoke have a particular part of relationship that might be emphasized. So they're also about, another common theme is connection, disconnection, and spirituality. So that's about connection and disconnection with self, with the universe, with the environment. So often I might get people coming who just feel really disconnected. There's a lot of that going on right now, as I'm sure you can imagine, in the environment that we're living in right now. There's a lot about relationship. There's a lot about connection and disconnection. And this is means that I'm working with these even more now. So with the remedy Vernix, which we'll look at in a moment, so we'll look at it in more detail in a moment, they can get disconnected with their own feelings. I've had so many people who come and they say, I can't really feel anything. To me at first, this seemed a little wow, because I'm a water sign, so I'm all about feeling. Everything. Maybe I feel too much sometimes, but it's a lot about feeling for me. So I've worked a lot with people being disconnected with their own feelings or unable to make connection. And a lot with people getting disillusioned with their relationship to spirituality. So, for example, people who send out a prayer or sit in visualization in connection to, for example, wanting a baby, and they don't get pregnant, and then they lose faith in their spirituality. So these are some of the things that can happen. Some of the prover's words, when we made the provings, it came out, it said, I feel connected to everything, when we were doing amniotic fluid. In fact, a little bit too much to things in a way. And in other times, I feel disconnected. So they're also about a sense of self and identity issues. These might feel like really big issues, but they are big issues that we are dealing with all the time. There are people who say, I don't know who I am anymore. Who am I if I'm not if I'm not the CEO of a company or the manager of the local shoe shop? Who am I? You know, what is my sense of self? And so we found that working with these remedies, they take us on a journey of self-recognition and who we might be, for example, if we dropped some of our masks. So perhaps our mask of being the boss of this or that organization, or being the head of a particular part, or being just, you know, being a working mother at home taking care of the children. It's like, who am I when the children grow up? So that sense of self, it's all about where you lost yourself or your sense of self. And these things came up a lot. So with umbilical cord that we'll talk about in a moment, it's how many images we construct, you know, that we put them in front of us. So for example, I've just met John and in a very short way now. And so, but there's many, many aspects to John, I'm sure, and many people. And vernix is about where you kind of lost your boundaries somewhere. So boundaries are an issue too in these. And in amniotic fluid, there's this whole thing. When we're in the amniotic sac, we're ingesting and digesting the amniotic sac all the time as we develop. What we found the homeopathic remedy works well for is that it can take you back to the place where you took on others' beliefs and what they expect you to be. And so people started to wake up to, well, who am I really if I'm not the expectations of my father or of my mother or how my partner expects me to be? So, yeah, and in taking and working with the remedy amniotic fluid, we can begin to get back to the core and source of who we are. We also found that with folliculinum, how the contraceptive pill can leave women feeling out of sorts and out of touch with their natural rhythms, and those natural rhythms, and when we bleed, mimics and mirrors the moon, the moon cycle. So, yeah, that's how it works on that identity issue. And they also remind us of source and creation. Almost begin to remind us of where we came. So I have people who, yeah, they begin to think more deeply about where do we come from. And I notice on our birth journey professionals, I've seen a lot of videos that I'm really interested in looking at now. Yeah, people are talking about where we may come from. And we may never that know that whilst we're in the walk of the earth realm, but we'll see. So it's almost like with amniotic fluid as a remedy, which is like the first one of the first boundaries we put around us. We can become too self-contained. So many people can become too self-contained or too blown wide open, too psychically blown wide open. So remedy helps bring that in and back to ourselves. Another part there is about unveiling is a word of these remedies. When we work with these remedies and take them, they reveal that which is hidden. And a lot of that has been going on in the past years here in our world. Much being revealed, which has been hidden. They also help re-establish natural rhythms and cycles. So when we've been on the pill, we lose our natural rhythm and cycle and connection to it. Many years ago, I was myself on the pill. When I was on the pill, I used to bleed at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. When I came off the pill, it took a whole year before I didn't bleed at that time. So it took a long time to get in touch with what was my new and natural rhythm. So we work with them to re-establish our menstrual cycle and to. With amniotic fluid, it might be to surrender during and after transition. So, amniotic fluid is around a lot these days as well, when we're in the middle of a pattern interrupt, and people are having to find new rhythms in their transition of what's happening, whether they're working harder nowadays or not getting to work at all. And placenta 40, placenta as a remedy in potency 40, we've used to speed up or establish a new rhythm. Yeah, and also it's to bring premature babies back into rhythm. So we've worked with placenta and amniotic fluid with premature babies to either to bring their lungs or their digestive system up to speed. It's quite phenomenal how that works. They also, these remedies also, as you would imagine, since we are going through so many transitions coming from wherever we came from and weaving that amniotic sac and growing into life and death and beginnings and endings. And these issues are found in each of the remedies, and we have mini deaths all the time. For women, it can be when we have our menstrual cycle, that's a mini death. It might be when we have an end of a relationship, that's a mini death. And it's to bring us into new beginnings, acknowledging endings and new beginnings. I mentioned earlier a little bit about transition, and it's transition and rites of passage is one of the other things. So those rites of passage that we all go through, coming into the womb and being born, moving into puberty or the menopause, or all of the different places that we move through. So the remedies work with acknowledging that each of us, men and women, go through different rites of passage throughout our lives. And so the remedies help with those. That transition might be going from being breastfed onto solids. So I've used those remedies for little ones who are finding it hard at that moving on to solids. So it can be from that level, as I say, to move into quite a big level of perhaps moving through the menopause as a woman, or moving into puberty as a man or a woman. So they're very good for that. Yeah. So and another thing that is really an important theme that runs throughout the remedies is this sense of heightened senses. So when we made the remedies, we noticed, and I remember incredibly clearly when I took one of the remedies, and don't forget that when we take them, we don't know what the remedies are, is that for many of the remedies, they include a theme around heightened senses and sensitivity or insensitivity, numbness or shock. So they the two extremes, really. And these have been important. Working with the senses right now is incredibly important. So, for example, first of all, I can't even see any of you here apart from John. I can only see and hear. Now, when we're on Zoom, I don't get to smell or taste or touch. And so there's a lot of people feeling this shutdown of our senses in a way. And so these remedies really come into place. They also come into place, for example, if we were in an acute illness where we lose our sense of taste and smell, for example. And working with some of these remedies can bring back this sense of taste and sense of smell. So, and for either numbness or shock, you know, some people, they can say, well, I can't actually smell anything, or one of my senses is dumbed down a little. And so the remedies can help work with those. And again, we'll look a little bit in more detail in a moment, not too much more detail. They also help us to review and reflect. We need that. And we've had a lot of time, haven't we, in this past year to get chance to review and reflect when we're in this pattern interrupt. So it's like, yeah, but not to go too deeply into that as we work with these, so we don't get lost in the past and lost in reviewing and reflecting. But we work with them as we're getting back to our journey of self-recognition. And as you would expect, since you have been in the womb of your grandmother, they contain generational or ancestral themes. So we might have many people coming to work with ancestors, to work with their ancestry, to work with what they need to look at in that. What kind of themes of behaviour might be seen down the generations? Quite a few of them had this an ancient or unknown grief. So there was a lot of grief that came up. So they're very good to use for grief. And grief, again, for many things. It might be that you lost a twin in utero It could be from that level of beginning, or that you've just lost a loved one, or that you've lost something that was dear to you. Another part of what we found in the remedies is this distortion of time or timelessness. So, and that also, just as I speak it now, I think that's been such a theme these days as well. Like some of us have been working really hard at the same routine, or maybe even harder, and others maybe who've been furloughed or at home are like, what day is it? What time is it? So they bring us back to grounding and a sense of self. Yeah. So those are the themes that each of them that run through each of them. I want to just, in this next bit, look a little bit at some of the specific remedies and how they might amplify some of these themes and where I've used them. This is just all a short introduction, but it's just to get an idea of it. So there's some of these amazing images you can get of folliculinum, which is estrogen in a way. It's human estrogen. And this is the way you spell folliculinum, for those of you who want to know. And there's these different images that you can get off it, which are quite unbelievable. So let's just have a look at folliculinum briefly as a remedy. So this is the one I was telling you about that's really good if you've been on the contraception pill, and it can help establish new rhythms, but it can also help establish new rhythms for men. So part of the picture of folliculinum that also relates to identity that I spoke about is that you can find yourself living someone else's dreams and expectations. I touched on this earlier, where I work with so many people who actually wanted to be artists, but their parents perhaps were a lawyer and they ended up going to law school. And then they get to about 50 and think, actually, I wanted to be an artist all along. And so it's working again on this journey of self-recognition and who am I? What do I desire? What do I want? What can I offer? So the use of the remedy folliculinum can have that loss of identity and getting completely lost and overwhelmed in relationships. I know that happens with a lot of us, but for many, it's really something to be looked at, especially when the children leave home. And or they can find themselves being rescuers or doormats or victims. As I said, it's good for hormonal abuse, which leaves people out of rhythm. And where people feel drained and fed off or obliged somehow to look after others, that leaves them feeling drained. Yeah, so it's very good to use as a remedy. As I said, all hormonal issues. I've used it in where women have had IVF to conceive. It really helps to detox the IVF and bring them back into their own rhythms. So another one of the remedies that we work with is lacumanum. So this one is all about, as a remedy, so this is human breast milk. This is all about our relationship with the mother, with our mother. And they've been used a lot where there's a challenging bond between mothers and babies. And as you can imagine, they're to do with words like nurture, nourish, or feeling needy or clingy, or where people get addictions. So it's especially where, I just had a memory now as I'm talking of a young girl I met when she was about 9, 10, and she was still sucking her thumb. It's this kind of sucking her thumb thing, and this can happen just when I've seen it when people haven't been breastfed. It's very good where people haven't been breastfed to help them to connect and ground, because that's part of what lacumen and what breast milk can do. It's for people who lack confidence, maybe have eating disorder. So I've seen these remedies do amazing things, lacumanum. For example, a woman I was working with who had twins, and she was so stressed and so irritated at trying to take care of these two twins, trying to feed them. She came to me really wrung out and stressed out, and I couldn't feel any lovingness there at all. And we worked with the remedy Lacumanum, and after a while of working with that, so when I say a while, it might be 2 or 3 visits in her case, she came back and she was in love with the twins, and feeding them was fine. So these are things that are really important in our life's journey. I've used this remedy, Lacumanum, in cases where the mother and the child are too connected and don't break free. And don't break free. So I've recently had somebody who's come where there was a daughter who's 15 or 16 and doesn't go to sleep without her mother being in the room to help her go to sleep. So this is it's part of finding own independence and breaking away. So one of the other remedies that I want to look at briefly is placenta. Placenta is an amazing remedy. Doesn't that look like a tree? Though there's quite something about placenta as a homeopathic remedy, and I say about it looking like a tree because in Aborig because it does is why, but also in some Aboriginal tribes, the birth isn't completed until the placenta has come out, and when the placenta comes out, it's buried underneath a tree, so that that child who grows into that person can go back to that tree and connect with its ancestors and remember where it came from. So placenta is amazing. It's for ancestral issues and ancestral links. It just reminds me as I got a glimpse of my picture there, and I'm wearing the color burgundy, which is associated a lot with placenta. Placenta is all about family issues, and they can feel a sense of indifference, like lacumana. It's when people just feel indifferent, or don't feel anything, just indifference. And so it helps all of that to work. So I've used placenta in an IVF case also, where there was a child. I used folliculinum first of all to clear the IVF, and this child just came in with a lack of spatial awareness and restlessness. He'd come in when he was about 3 and he'd bump into the sofa and then into the chair, not on purpose. It was a lack of spatial awareness. It was like as if he hadn't yet fully arrived. And you have to remember that until the placenta is in the soil, in some traditions, the soul is not grounded. And what placenta did with that child, it's like it made him arrive and ground. So, yeah, that's just a quick thing. I can only do a quick thing on each of these. So, how about us looking at umbilical cord as a remedy? So we found that umbilical cord is an incredible remedy for shock. So I use it a lot for shock. There's many other homeopathic remedies, but it's like you can see, and those of you who are midwives or have been present at birth will know that if that umbilical cord gets cut too soon, it's almost in shock. It's almost like that umbilical cord does, it has stem cells in it that brings through the potential into the newborn. And it's a sense of getting of shock if it's cut too soon. The other interesting thing we found in this remedy was that it had a thing about unintentional wounding. So it took us back to places where we had felt we'd been wounded in the past, hurt in the past. And it helped us to realize that sometimes that wounding was not intentional, and that people have been carrying that story for a very long time, that they were hurt in the past, and their whole lives and the way they experience the world is about that hurt. And many people came to see that that wounding, what that left them feeling as a victim, was not intended by that person. And it left them with an emotional feeling at the end of the proving, where people move from feeling a victim to a place of empowerment. This is over a period of time. These are not homeopathic remedies, are not something that are a quick fix. Well, actually, any healing that takes time, any wholesome healing. But it definitely was huge in the proving, and I work with it a lot now, where people feel victims in their wounding. It also has these issues of unveiling, shedding skins, letting go, dropping masks, identity that I mentioned in the beginning. And yeah, it's a bit of what do I need to let go of? You know, what have I been wearing? What's the story I've been holding that's kept me stuck? And it helps us to move through that and to drop some masks, dare to drop some masks, and show yourself and who you really are. Another aspect in it is cutting unhealthy ties and patterns. These unhealthy ties and patterns we can find in things like abusive relationships, situations we find ourselves in, addictions with yourself, with others. So it was very good for that. And also, when we were making and introducing this remedy, many of us had quite shocking dreams, which is why it really helps with issues of shock. And I've also used it many times when people have stopped dreaming. I don't know how many of you dream out there, but for some people it really is disturbing when you don't dream and you don't remember your dreams anymore. And I've used this many, many times for people, and it has initiated the dreaming process again. So it is very good, as you can imagine, for things like umbilical hernias, all of these sorts of things, as well as those deep things about identity. So I've used it when people have maybe had to break free from a community that they've lived in. So maybe it could be that they've been addicted to alcohol, and part of giving it up has been they'll lose all their friends, or they've been involved with leisure drugs and they don't want to do that anymore. They want to leave, but they would lose their whole community. So working with umbilical cord gets them to a sense of who they were before that addiction, and get a sense of self and new beginnings, and know that they're not on their own. So the next one we're just going to go quickly through is vernix. Vernix. So vernix is that cheesy varnish we get on us when we're in the womb. There was a time, I think, in the it was in the beginning of the NHS that started cleaning off the vernix off the babies. It was around the same time, actually, when they were putting placentas in plastic bags. That's changing a lot now. And now they're leaving the vernix on because they find that what was happening is the midwives, as instructed in the new regime, were cleaning off the vernix. They were rubbing it on themselves because it's a fantastic skin remedy. And so there's something about leaving the vernix on the baby that is really important. So vernix brings us and brings me to work with the issues of hypersensitivity. That's hypersensitivity to everything and anything. So it might be to food, to the environment, to people, allergic reactions. I get more and more people these days with a lot of allergic reactions to aftershave, to perfumes, the smell of cosmetics. And also, it can just be like a hypersensitive reaction environmentally. And I sense a feeling of overwhelm. So with vernix, it's a bit of too much stimulus. So vernix is turning out to be a really interesting remedy in these times when we spend so much time on Zoom. And I'm so grateful that I can be on here and reach so many of you on Zoom. But there's nothing like being in the room with people. And people are getting Zoomed out. You know, there's many free Zooms, there's courses of everything. And then they're finding it, especially the children, they're finding it quite hard then to relate. So I find that working with Vernix with them is bringing them back to a sense of who they are, bringing them out of, because before this last year or so, there was a lot of evidence about how tricky it was spending so much time on screens, especially for children. And now we're spending a lot of time on screens. So Vernix can help with that, with these boundary issues, with this disconnection with our feelings, with anxiety, and as I mentioned before, with some skin issues. So I'm just going to take a moment now to talk about amniotic fluid, which is the first, that sac we weave around ourselves once we've come into the womb. And one of the key words that came out when we were working this was the word surrender. And it's been amazing to use this in remedies. When people are in change or transition, needing to release and let go, it's like rather than battle against it or get resigned, so it might be that departments are getting changed around in a workplace and people want to battle against it. It's like just surrender. So the key is something about surrendering into life's unfolding. This, of course, is easier than said than done. You can't just do that in a short space, but it works wonderfully for that. There was also a sense of this expansion and contraction in it. So it's great for people who get too zoned out in the psychic place, and great for rigid people who aren't good at flowing and just being flexible. And I've used it in many, many cases for that. It's one about that brings to our attention how we swallow, like we do when we're in the womb and we're swallowing the amniotic fluid, but that we can swallow what we've been told about ourselves as if it's true, without connecting with our own sovereignty and knowing ourselves what is true. Again, this one has heightened senses. It had water issues. You can imagine it would. It's so such a watery environment there, and salt issues. So it's really helped where people are struggling with change. There's been a lot of change this year, and it's where people are, might be redundant or changing in a relationship to get to the point where you just surrender, which I'm sure you know is very different to resigning. It's excellent for dry pregnancies when the amniotic fluid is low. We've used this in pregnancy, and it has helped to give the amniotic fluid more substance. It's like it replenishes the baby's ocean. It's good to be given when there's meconium in the water, gut or lungs, or if a twin dies in utero because the other one has experienced grief in the water. It's great for premature babies. Yeah. So it's really good for all of those things. Really excellent amniotic fluid for where parents, men or women, need to just surrender in trying to get pregnancy, need to chill out, need to not try so hard. I've worked with amniotic fluid to actually get where there's been a surrendering, a letting go and a releasing, and then they get pregnant. So it's a very good one for that. So one example was a woman I worked with this with two miscarriages, and she'd had ovarian cysts on both ovaries when she came to me. She had a loss of appetite, constant anxiety, and she was very analytical and wanted to get things right. She's quite hard and rigid. And eventually, working with amniotic fluid, when she went for her next exam, one of the cysts was shrinking and then the other one did. And over a period of working with her for about 6 months, those cleared and she became pregnant and now has a healthy bowel. She must be, I don't know how old she is, maybe 9 or 10 years old by now. So those are the, this is a really quick journey through the remedies. It's a lot to take in, I know, and there's if hopefully I've inspired you a little bit to look more into them. And one of the things I would like to do, before we get to the end and answer questions, is take you on a short meditation. So, are you up for that? I'm going to assume that you are. Are you up for that, John?
Absolutely, yes, that'd be lovely. Wonderful. Yeah.
So, we just do whatever it is you need to do to get yourself comfortable,
Lorraine,
to settle to
can I just
meditation.
sorry, can I just suggest that we you put stop sharing and then we can see you. Is that be okay?
Oh yeah, of course. Yes, I forget you can't see me when that's happening. I can stop the share. Did that work? Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Can you see me? Okay. So do whatever it is you need to do to get yourself into a state of opening to receiving. This is what much of the matridonal remedies are about, open to receiving. So much of what we do is going out into the world and doing, getting to-do lists. We're really good at getting onto the to-do train. So get off the to-do train into the not doing place. For some of us, that might be that we open into a luminous chakra and into our energy body. And for others, the invitation is just to close your eyes and go inside. So take a moment to close your eyes and go inside and open to the sound of my voice. You don't need to hang on to what I'm saying, but just open to receiving. With every breath you take, just begin to think, I am breathing. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. Notice your breathing. Don't change a thing. Just noticing your breathing in and out. Whew, and tend for your breath to soften, to deepen, to fall into a deep knowing place inside of you. That place inside of you that remembers the source from where you came. That remembers all things are connected and all things share the same breath. Really allow yourself to sink into that deep place inside of you and allow yourself to become grounded. You might do that by imagining that you have a root going down from your base of your spine, from the soles of your feet, pushing down through the floors that you're on. Pushing down the foundations of the building and connecting into the deep, raw earth, which is easy. For as our roots go down and connect into the earth, they connect with the roots of the plants and the trees around you that give of their oxygen so that we might breathe. Rooted there, know that we connect with the mycelium energy that runs beneath the earth. Way more sophisticated than any Wi-Fi connection, but it means now that we are all connected. As we go into the deeper into the meditation, remembering that before we come into our mother's womb, we've been in the womb of our grandmother. Take a few seconds to imagine how existence in the womb might feel. Just open yourself to the sound of the bell. Open to yourself to how it might feel. For from the two of the sperm and the egg, we become one, a zygote, embedding ourselves and surviving for a short time by nourishing ourselves from the uterine wall. We make connection with another, our mother, and create a buffer. Become an embryo and surrender to this unique union. Retaining our connection with all of creation as we weave ourselves an amniotic sac within which we exist and develop in amniotic fluid, floating rhythmically in the waters of life, There is no sense of an individual or separate identity, no awareness of body, feelings, or mind as distinct from anything else. Dreamily immersed in primal paradise, there is only unity or oneness with the rest of creation. The universe is self, and the self is universe. Whilst floating in the fetal waters, we grow and evolve, receiving, nurturing, and sensing faint whispers from our ancestors through the placenta we made partly from our own tissue and partly from our mother's. We almost taste our limitless potential and our unique presence beyond the next transition, beyond the floating waters. The development of vernix, the cheesy varnish, brings a hint of a beginning of a sense of self as separate with an identity, a new sense of boundary within which to receive information of what is to come. The flushings of hormones, including estrogen, oxytocin, just before birth, it's like a veil of forgetfulness that we step through just before birth as we begin to lose a sense of oneness with the rest of creation, as we're jolted out of this realm of oceanic totality. The cutting of the umbilical cord is yet another separation. Its timing is crucial, or we can experience shock. It carries within it the stem cells of limitless potential. In the womb, we know the universe. At birth, we begin to forget it. The placenta emerges, and as some would say, should be buried under a tree for us to visit, to stay grounded, to remember our connection to our ancestors, to our soul and who we are and where we came from. Tasting the milk from our mother is like ingesting an elixir that entices us to stay and grounds us in this earth realm. Being born means taking on our body, mind and emotions, and heralds the self as unique and distinct individual with our own unique DNA, our own unique astrological natal birth chart, and begin to develop life experience that colours our thoughts, emotional being, our physical expression, our individual experience of life. As we journey through life, we can move further and further away from a sense of who we really are. Our journey becomes remembering the journey home, remembering that all things are connected, all things share the same breath. Just very slowly, very gently now, just coming back to your breathing and breathing, and just taking a few more deep breaths of movement of your fingers and toes, your feet. Another deep breath, and just coming back into this earth realm and this time around. Okay, so this ends the talk really. I can put up shortly, just towards the end, some references of what you can look at, where you can find an article that I've written that talks a little more about these. And I think we have some time for a few questions.
Wonderful. Thank you, Marianne. That was really wonderful.
You're very welcome.
Now then, so Gudni says, thank you so much, Lorraine. Lots of love from Iceland. I really miss your huge, warm and loving hugs.
Oh, me too, Gudni.
I'll just go back, scrolling back now. So Rachel has got a couple of questions. Rachel Van Haldeman. Adrenaline. Do any of these remedies have strong feelings of adrenaline rushes in the body?
Yes, I guess they do. There's a lot of restlessness in some of the remedies, like amniotic fluid can especially can have a lot of restlessness and anxiety.
And she's also asking, is Vernix for too much internal stimulus as well as, or is it about more external stimulus?
I associate Vernix much more with external stimulus. But that the stimulus of all of them do work with the inside and the outside. So some of them are more from the outside in, and some like placenta might be working from the inside out. So when we work on our personal journey and go inside, we experience the outside differently.
A question about the umbilicus, and thank you for this multifaceted presentation. When should the umbilical cord be cut so as not to cause shock to the newborn? I've got a few things to say about that as well, but I'm sure you have, Lorraine.
I'm sure we all have. But yeah, I mean the timing of it is crucial. In some societies, they don't actually cut the umbilical cord. They keep the baby connected and it eventually withers and falls away. So I think it's just something about us being conscious and aware of when we do that. You know, that it's not just something to be done, the baby's born, cut the cord, but just be getting a sense of the baby, a sense of the mother, and doing that with some consciousness and gentleness and lovingness and intention. Did you want to say something about that, John?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wrote about it quite a lot in my book, Choices in Pregnancy and Childbirth, and my colleague Lena Clark also talks about what you were saying there, the lotus birth thing. But this whole thing about cutting the cord, obviously, there's a lot of energetic stuff that happens, but also on a physical level. So generally speaking, it's best to wait until the cord has stopped pulsating. Which
Absolutely,
might be, could be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, could be anything. It's varied. So,
thank you.
he's also asking also, umbilical cord and Vernix both have ability to bring patients back to who they are. How to differentiate between the two?
Umbilical cord was the one that we found is it's the timing of umbilical cord is good. It's good to have towards the when somebody has been working for a while. So he talked about umbilical cord and which one was that, John?
Vernix.
But, so umbilical cord is much more about who am I really? So that's about who am I really if I drop the masks that I present to the world, if I get in touch with my desire and what I want to do, who am I when all of these things are stripped away and unveiled at my core and at my essence? With Vernix, there's much more or less of sense of self from externally and too much stimulus and overwhelm. That's how I might think about distinguishing the two.
So there's a question about there are many interlaps between these metrodermal remedies. Can you identify the top three or five of each? I think you've pretty much done that during this session. But is there a website or book that offers details on each or a course that you run?
Okay, yeah, thanks. I think I have done the top three or five, like you say. It's not like these are a top three or five. And of course, there's overlaps because they're all about gestational times, apart from lacrimonum and folliculinum. And so it all depends on the individual picture. I could put up, at the end, I'll put up some references of where you can find these things. You'll find a lot on the internet as well. But I have got a slide I'll put up towards the end, which I suppose is quite soon, that can show you where you can look more deeply into them. I've written an article about them, and there is a you can see where to find that when I put up references. Shall I do that now?
Sure. Yeah, there's a couple more questions. Should we have them first and then you can put
We
them
have
up?
them first. Yeah, that would be great, John. Thank you.
So Catherine says, I'm a homeopath and doula and about to send lacumanum to a client. From Mark, thank you for your presentation. Wonderful. As we know, an infant reaches talking developmental stage, say around 15 months. Do you have adult clients which need to have a cognitive understanding of how the remedies work? What materials do you suggest for adults which use remedies for self-healing?
They're all for adults for self-healing. All of them are for children and adults, all of them. You know, as I said, there's particular things in amniotic fluid where the amniotic it might be a dry pregnancy and you'd be thinking about in utero or with babies perhaps who haven't been fed breast milk. But I hope that I've identified a number of themes that run through each of the remedies, like amniotic fluid into that place of surrender and transition, umbilical cord when you're going through shock. So I've got all of those are for adults, for everybody, for men and women throughout all the stages and rites of passage in our lives.
Thank you. Just ask for some clarification from Mandy for a question there. Brian is asking, how long should the vernix be left on?
It's an individual thing again. I mean, do you write about this in your book, John, as well?
I don't.
No, no,
Should
no.
be on.
Yeah, I think it's just time to, it starts to fall off and get quite hard and fall off quite quickly anyway. And it also, vernix is on, the amount of vernix that's on at the time of birth depends on the time of birth. So sometimes if a baby's overdue, there's no vernix when the baby's born. So it's a lot of discernment and working with your midwife, your doula, people who are there and present with you.
Jan is asking, what can help when the fetus has experienced effects of alcohol and drug abuse by the mother?
Well, I think you have to work on if you think that is affecting the person, if that's affecting the person. You know, and the individual case homeopathically. So you'd look at the child or the adult, you know. So this question could be that as an adult they find out that there was alcohol and drug abuse, or it could be as a child that's found out. So you'd work with definitely remedies of toxicity, detoxicity. So something like folliculinum perhaps, but the whole remedy picture of the person may fit one of the other matridonals better.
There's a question here about C-section births. Actually, I was quite intrigued by this. Any recommendations for C-section births? But I'm wondering if you see patterns within babies who are born by C-section.
I haven't come across a huge amount of babies born by C-section, but one of the things that they miss is that whole flushing of hormones at the point of birth. So they miss out on oxytocin and estrogen, which is folliculinum. And when I have worked with cesarean children, sometimes they just need more grounding. And so I'd work with the grounding remedies, of which all of them have a bit of grounding in there, but one of them is placenta.
And Teresa is asking, can these remedies be used surrogately?
What does that mean?
So that you would, I think it means that you would give the remedy, say,
To
to
the
the
mother,
mother if
the
it's the one
child.
who affect the baby or the father or someone else.
So, if you give them to the mother and the mother's breastfeeding, the child has them as well. Whether you can give them to one person and it affects another person affects on, depends very much on your belief system and what paradigm you're living in.
We're nearly there. Mandy is asking about the use of placenta and can it be used when the placenta doesn't deliver after birth?
Yes, it can.
And last question, Catherine is saying, births at the moment are very challenging. Many mothers are birthing alone or with minimal support. Do you fear for the next generation born into lockdown and a world of masked adults?
Well, I think we don't know any of us what's going to unfold in this. I'm sure that in retrospect, many things are going to come up where there is many babies who are not being touched by many people that are born, you know. So we will see as time unfolds how this, what effect, enormous effect this is going to have on newborn babies, on children, on elderly left at home. We'll see.
Great, wonderful. Now, so you're going to put up.
Oh, yes, I was going to just show some references. I'll do that, shall I? I'll
And
just.
also, I don't know if you want to put up your own link to your own website or your email address. I'll put your email address in the chat here.
Think I've got it here. Let me just have a look and see how I'm doing with this. Okay. So there's an article on my website, www.medicinewomanmedicineways. You just press article and it takes you to an article that I wrote many years ago now, but it has the basics on it. Lacumanum, there was one of the provings, and where you can get a book is by Jacqueline Horton and Elizabeth Hallahan. Folliculinum, there's just a short bit written there about by someone called Foubister, but Melissa Asselin has written an article called Mist or Miasm. You can search the internet for that, and you can download from the internet much more information about Placenta Humanum, which was proven and written up by Kathy Biggs and Linda Gwilym of the Welsh School of Homeopathy. There's a whole site called Inspiring Homeopathy, a website. This is by a guy called Tynes Smits, and he's gone into detail about vernix. It's really interesting what he writes there. Some of the notes, Melissa Asselin has written a book, The Matridonal Remedies of the Humanum Family, where she writes up about umbilical cord and amniotic, well, all of them, apart from folliculinum, which she writes up differently. And there has been a proving of Menzies by Naomi Ocean and Sonia Bailey Grace. So you've got my email details there, and I would like to, definitely give thanks to the many men and women who have pioneered the and are using these remedies, because it's through these material forms of the matridonal remedies, like with amniotic fluid, placenta, vernix, umbilical cord, and the beautiful dance of hormones with breast milk, that we come into and ground into this earth realm. It's not surprising then that the homeopathic and energetic form that these remedies enable and hold us through many transitions in our beginnings, in our endings, and all of the cycles and transitions in between. They literally help us to remember where we've forgotten or we've become fragmented, and they help us to connect with nature, which is important, with our true nature and with our essential selves as whole beings, and to know who we really are, both as unique individuals and in relation to everyone and everything. This in turn assists us to become awake and conscious in life, to take responsibility for ourselves and for the experience of life that we co-create. So I really hope on this full moon and through this medium that they go out and that you explore them more and use them and get creative. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in and listening. And thank you, John, for hosting.
Thank you, Lorraine. That was really wonderful. Thank you. And so Lorraine's details are there, lorraine@medicinewomanmedicineways.co.uk, if you want to get in touch with Lorraine and find out more what her work is. And just to say, next week on Thursday, I'm going to be doing a webinar about the long-term implications of how we are born and how we come into this world. That's Thursday. And the week after, we have Joanna Waters going to be doing a webinar for us as well. Joanna's wonderful presentation. And Mia Khalef is the week after. She's going to be running a course for us on healing birth and pre-birth at any age. And Mia is a wonderful presenter from the USA. So thank you again, Lorraine. Thank you very much for being
thank
here.
You. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.